Rose puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
So where will we go in Manitoba today? Well, Gordon Goldsboro knows. He's the master of Abandoned Manitoba, the special series that we've been running with him, courtesy of the Manitoba Historical Society, and Gordon's back this morning. Hi there.
Good morning, Terry.
So last week you mentioned a story for this week about a town named for a famous American philosopher.
That's right. Well, I was thinking of the philosopher Ralph Waldo Emerson, which, of course, is the basis for the town of Emerson.
Is it really?
It is indeed. One of the founders of Emerson, a fellow named William Fairbanks, was apparently a big fan of Emerson's writing. And so when he had the occasion to found the town, he named it for him.
Fascinating. And where are you taking us in Emerson?
Well, we're going to look at the railway history of Emerson. I think that's a very important one because, well, for a variety of reasons. One is Emerson has two railways, the CN and the CP, both pass through Emerson. Of course, the other thing is that it's a border crossing where we go into the United States. And I think that's the important part of this story today. People who think about the railway history of Manitoba probably think about when the Canadian Pacific arrived in Winnipeg, a very big event because that was what really led to the really boom of Western Canada. People came in, you know, by the thousands, by the CP coming in from the east, from Eastern Canada. What people may not realize is that that was not the first railway. The first railway in Manitoba actually came in from the south, from the United States, and it was built from Emerson, which, of course, is on the east bank of the Red River. Mm-hmm. It came up the east side of the Red River and arrived in St. Boniface. And this was in the late 1870s, several years before the CP arrived from the east. And so this railway, what later became the Canadian Pacific, it originally, though, was built by the federal government and then eventually transferred to the CP, was the way that many of the original sort of pioneers that started to fill the prairies, the farmers, for example, this is how they got here. They would perhaps take an American railway to St. Paul, Minnesota, and then eventually get to maybe Pembina, North Dakota, and then take this train all the way into St. Boniface. So that railway is absolutely historic. And of course, necessarily then there would have been a depot, a station in Emerson to host them as they were coming into Canada. So the first railway station, this first CPR station anyway in Emerson, we think was built in 1879. It was actually the first of what later became four stations altogether. The first station, 1879, was destroyed by a fire in 1885, so it didn't last very long. They built a temporary building to replace it. That was the second one. They built a third one, and it lasted until 1914. So that the present railway station was built in 1914. That's the current one you'll see if you go through Emerson today. So it's been around just a little over 100 years. And, of course, in keeping with our theme today, it is, in fact, a abandoned.
What kind of state is it in?
Well, externally, it looks pretty good. But there's our story. Because if you look at the railway from the station from the outside, it looks in reasonable condition. In fact, the town of Emerson looked at it and thinking, well, this is an opportunity for us. I had an opportunity to speak with the mayor or the former mayor of Emerson, and he was telling me about a plan they had. They're building a golf course in Emerson. Of course, you need a clubhouse for the golf course. So they looked at this abandoned railway station. And of course, the mayor especially, but the town, I think, as a whole, really appreciates history. And they thought, well, what better way to do to commemorate the railway heritage of Emerson than to use this old railway station as our golf course clubhouse? So they made an overture to the Canadian Pacific. And eventually, apparently, they had a visitor come from Vancouver, one of the executives from the railway, and he offered the building to them for a dollar. And they thought, wow, that's a great offer. But then they thought, well, we better do our due diligence. We better go and have a look at the building. So they went inside. What they found was that a lot of the rafters for the roof were quite badly sagged, and that was going to be bad. They're going to have to do some kind of bolstering of that. They looked at the shingles on the roof, and they were pretty badly deteriorated. Probably need a new roof. Well, in fact, the interior was radically changed. In the original configuration, if you think about it, the railway would have had inside this station a series of rooms for the various functions. So they would have had, for example, a waiting room for the passengers as they were waiting to go from one train to another. They would have had a baggage room for the passengers to put their luggage, a storage room for freight. Because this was on the border crossing, they would have had probably an office for the customs officer. They would have probably had a bonded storage room for things that were going to be transported across the border. Well, apparently very little of that original layout was intact. So it would have meant that it really wasn't a historically interesting building inside. Then they looked into what it would cost them to move it. It's not a far distance. It's a little more than a stone's throw away from this golf course site, but it was going to cost them apparently $35,000 to move the building. And then they were at a site where they would turn it into a clubhouse, but because it was going to be a public building, it would have to then be made compliant with modern building codes, for particularly for public safety. So they would have had to have had handicap bathrooms, for example. And what they found was that there was going to be so much cost to all of this that this $1 offer that sounded attractive initially very quickly became, well, it just isn't on. So they, with gratitude, they refused the railway's offer. So as a result, it still stands there. Incidentally, though, it's interesting that they are going ahead with the idea nevertheless, because it turns out municipalities like Emerson, when a building is being constructed in the municipality, they have to issue a building permit. And as a part of the building permit process, often you have to submit blueprints for your proposed building. Well, it turned out they went down in the basement of the Emerson Town Hall, and lo and behold, there were the blueprints for not the CN station, unfortunately, but for the CP station, rather, the CN station. The CN station was in Emerson for a number of years. It was torn down. It's been gone for a while. But there, the blueprints for the original building. So now, not only could you build a building that had the character of that old railway station, you could bring it up to with all the modern amenities. You could easily have handicapped bathrooms. You could have air conditioning, you know, proper insulation so that you wouldn't have to pay a fortune to keep it warm. So I think it's a great way that they're now honoring the railway heritage of Emerson, but in a way that can allow them to comply more easily and more cost-effectively with the needs of a public building.
So unabandoned Manitoba.
That's right, in a way.
So what will happen then to the actual abandoned station?
Well, it's quite likely not long for this world, I suspect. It's right on the edge of the tracks. It is locked up tight. When I was there visiting a few months back, there's locks all over the place, so you can't get into it, which is good, I think, because it then prevents the vandals from getting in. But I think the railway ultimately will see it as a liability, so I would suspect that in the not-too-distant future it will come down.
And the new one, based on the old blueprints, mm-hmm. what will it look like?
Well, it will look, I suspect, quite like the one that's there now. If people have a mental image of a railway station, you know, if they think, for example, of the nice old railway stations in Portage la Prairie, I think that will be sort of how they will tend to look. This new building they're going to build will look quite like that.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Well, that's great news. Back from the dead.
That's right.
Based on the original blueprints.
That's right.
So where are you taking us next week?
Well, you know, a lot of the places we've talked about in this series, Terry, of course, abandoned places, it invokes sort of a sense of sadness, a sense of remorse when you see a building that's been, vacant or it's been neglected. Well, next week we're going to be going to the town of Bozeman in western Manitoba, where they were so glad they were abandoning something that they erected a monument for it.
Okay. I can hardly wait. Gordon, thank you.
You're welcome, Terry.
See you next week. Yeah,
bye-bye.
Bye.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons ago.